Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur and even better order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, we were discussing the dimensions of the Mizbeach, and we made a reference to the Mizbeach in the time of Bais Sheni, and the Gemara pointed out that the Mizbeach in the time of Bais Sheni was increased in size, making it larger than the Mizbeach at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, who was responsible for the construction of Bais Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara now will discuss the actual location of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach with regard to those returning from the exile in the time of Ezra, bearing in mind that Nebuchadnezzar and his men, the Babylonians, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So how is it that when they came back to Yerushalayim, that was in a state of ruins, how is it that they identified the location of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach? So the Gemara picks up from the upper part of the page, 8 lines from the top, the beginning of the line, Bishlama Bayis Minkaro Tsuroso. We can understand, it is understandable that the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, when they returned with Ezra, were able to recognize the different locations of the different precincts of the Beis HaMikdash itself. They knew what had sanctity of the Azara and what had the Heichal sanctity, because even though the structure above ground was destroyed, nevertheless there were foundations, wall foundations that they were able to identify. Elo Mizbeach Mino Yadi. But as far as the location of the Mizbeach, how did they know where that was? So as you can see, we have some geometric forms that indicate a series of answers, as do all geometric forms in our marking system represent a series of some kind. In this case, we can take advantage of our Nosei Mivneh heading that you see on the outside margin. You see this volcano or trapezoid form. Deos al eich zihu anshe Knesset HaGdola es Mekoim HaMizbeach b'mei Ezra. Different opinions as to how the members of the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, the ruling body that came with Ezra at the time of their return from the Babylonian exile, how were they able to identify the Mizbeach location in the temple courtyard? So the first opinion, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Ro'u Mizbeach Bonui u'michoel hasar hagodol omeid u'makriv olav. There was some type of prophetic vision that they had. They saw something miraculously, a constructed vision of the Mizbeach and the angel Michoel offering korbanos on it. So they understood that because they were experiencing this vision, they concluded that that is the location where they saw this Mizbeach, that is its actual location. The second opinion, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, Omar, Efroi Shel Yitzchok Ra'u, Shemunach Ba'isoi Mokoim. The literally translated the ashes of Yitzchok, but as everyone knows, Yitzchok was never sacrificed. So it may very well be a reference to the ashes of the ayil, the animal that Avraham Avinu offered as a korban instead of Yitzchok. So they saw, and of course tradition has it, that the Akedas Yitzchok took place where eventually the Mizbeach would be built. So they saw the ashes at a specific spot, and they concluded that that's where the Mizbeach ought to be. Wherever they stood in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, they smelled the fragrance of the incense. Mishom, however, from the spot that the Mizbeach was supposed to be, Herichu Reach Evarim. So, following the sense of smell, they sensed the Reach Evarim, the smell of limbs of animals being offered. So they figured if the scent is different over here than that which they were perceiving all around, this must be the site for the Mizbeach. Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. A fourth opinion as to how the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, that ruling body that came with Ezra, were able to determine where the Mizbeach should be. Shloisha Nevi'im Olu Imohem Min HaGedolah. Three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, returned with the Jews from the exile. Echod Sheheid Lohem Al HaMizbeach. One of them testified that the space on the ground that has sufficient sanctity for hosting the altar is an area of up till 60 amos. This, by the way, was a statistic that we saw at the very end of our previous shiur. V'echad, one of the prophets, Sheheid Lohem Al Mokoim HaMizbeach. This prophet testified as to where the actual location of the Mizbeach should be. And the Echod, Sheid Lohem, and the third prophet testified, Shemakrivin Afalpi She'ein Bayis, that one is able to offer sacrifices even if the Beis HaMikdash itself is not standing. And Rashi points out that that's based on the principle that the Kedushas HaBayis, the sanctity imparted to the Beis HaMikdash itself, was of a permanent nature. B'masnisa Tana, we have a Tanaic source that features this idea of the three prophets that returned with the Jews from Bavel. Rabbi Lozer ben Yankov Omer, Shlosha Nevi'im Olu Imoy Min HaGolah, three prophets accompanied the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael from the exile. Echot Sheid Lohem Al HaMizbeach V'Al Mokom HaMizbeach. One of them testified concerning the dimensions of the floor that are suitable for the Mizbeach, and also where the Mizbeach should be. So as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan's presentation of having these two points conveyed by two separate prophets, this Tanaic source, as you can see, it's a framed section of the Gemara, as in our marking system we frame off all Tanaic sources and attempt to distinguish them from the rest of the Gemara. So this opinion has one prophet responsible for both pieces of information. V'echod she'ed lohem she'makriv v'mafal pi she'ein bias, and a second prophet testified concerning this law that it is possible to offer sacrifices even if the Beis HaMikdash itself is not built. V'echod sheheid lohem al hatura she tichtov ashuris, and one of them testified that the appropriate script for writing a Sefer Torah is called the Ashuris script. Rashi points out that originally the Torah was given with a different type of script called a Ksav Libuno'o. And upon the return to Eretz Yisrael, it would be changed to a Ksav known as Ksav Ashuris, which is what we are familiar with. This topic itself is the subject of controversy in Maseches Sanhedrin, but for our purposes, this will suffice for now. Tana Rabbanon, we continue in the Gemara with a discussion concerning the Mizbeach. Keren, V'kevesh, V'yesod, V'ribua, Ma'akfin. 4 points, the corners of the Mizbeach, those are blocks that measured 1 amma cube that were placed at the 4 corners of the Mizbeach. V'kevesh is the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. Yesod is the bottommost level of the Mizbeach, the foundation level, which had a height of 1 amma and up till now, we've been discussing a 32 by 32 amo size or dimension. And upon that, the second stage of the Mizbeach was built. So that's called Yisod, and Viribua, squareness, that the Mizbeach is supposed to be square, are Ma'akfin. Those are binding features, that if any of these aspects are missing, so the Mizbeach is unfit. Midas Orcho, the length, Midas Rochbo, width, Umidas Komaso, and height, Ein Ma'akfin. Those are, we'll say, they're not binding in the sense that there is flexibility with regard to these dimensions. Meno hani mili. What is the source of this? Amar of Huna, Amar Kro, Hamizbeach. That is the word that we're going to be focusing on. Komokom shenemar Hamizbeach la'akev. Wherever the word Hamizbeach appears in the pasuk, so the halacha or the item that accompanies that is of a binding nature. And Rashi points these things out, and you can see that we've double underlined the key words in the Rashi, where you can see the word you can see with the word with the issue of the Karen, there is the word Hamizbeach, and with regard to the Yesod and the Kevesh as well. Elo me'ato. If the word Hamizbeach is the basis of it being binding, before we go on, since we had made a reference to the Rashi with the Keren, Yesod, and Kevesh, we should also point out that with regard to the Ribua, there also appears a pasuk containing the word Hamizbeach, and Rashi features all of that. As we continue in the Gemara, Elo me'ato, kiur l'rebi, v'sovev l'rebi Yosi b'rebihuda, hochi nami dima'akev, dichtiv, v'nosato oisotachas karkoiv hamizbeach, mi'lamato. The phenomenon of kiur, kiur is a reference to in decorations, or carvings, on the wall of the Mizbeach. Or the case of the or the issue of a sovev. Sovev is the second level up on the Mizbeach, that's after you rise one amo to the yesoid, then you go an amo in, and there's a section of Mizbeach that's five amos high. At the top of that section, there is what we call the sovev, and on top of that, set in one more amo, is the section that's three amas of height that would that eventually leads up to the very top of the Mizbeach. So the kiyur, according to Rebbe, and the sovev, according to Rabbi Yossi Rehuda, are you going to insist that those are ma'akev? Because if the pasuk says, v'nosato oiso tachas karkuv ha-mizbeach milamato v'tanya ezehu karkuv. What is the karkuv? Rebbe Omer Zeh Kiyur. That's a reference to the decorations that we mentioned on the side of the Mizbeach. These decorations were carved into the Mizbeach, or set upon the Mizbeach, above the halfway mark. According to Rabbi Yossi Rebuta, the word Karkuv, Rabbi Yossi Rebuta Omer Zeh HaSovev, that's a reference to the Sovev that we just described earlier. So since the term Karkuv is found in conjunction with the word Hamizbeach, however you interpret Karkuv, are you going to tell me that those are binding? The Gemara answers, in fact, yes, in the Sanya. We have the following source. The end of the source, you'll see Rabbi Yossi Rebuta is dashed underline, and he mentions the Sovev. And Rashi points out that from Rabbi Yossi Rebuta's insistence on the Sovev being intact, we will assume that Rebbe and his interpretation also would insist on that being intact, the kiyur, those decorations. Let's see the source that indicates that these items are in fact binding. The Sanya Oisai Hayoim. This source is describing a historical event where the Kohen that did Nisu Chamayim on Sukkis did it in an improper fashion, and the nation, the people that were in the Beis Hamikdash, pelted him, and as a result of his being pelted, they more in Sukkah describes them pelting him with their esrogim, it caused the Mizbeach to become chipped. Osayom nifgimo keren Mizbeach. The corner of the Mizbeach became chipped. Veheviu bul shel melach v'sosmuhu. And they brought a chunk of salt and attached that chunk of salt to where the Mizbeach was chipped. V'sosmuhu. And they sealed the notch. Velo mitnei shekosher lavoda. Not because the salt will enable the Mizbeach to be considered acceptable for service. It was merely a cosmetic treatment so that the Mizbeach should not appear to be chipped. But they nevertheless would have they had to wait for the actual proper repair till it could be restored to use. Shekol mizbeach she'ein lo keren v'kevesh v'yisod v'ribua posel. Any mizbeach that's lacking the corner, and the corner must be complete and intact, the ramp, the yisod, and squareness is posel. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hasovev. Even if it's lacking a sovev, it would be considered unfit. There's the Rashi on the third wide line indicates what we mentioned before. Rashi there says Ezo Karkuf from Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Nishma the Rebbe the Kiur Makiv, just like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi holds that the Sovev is Makiv because that's his interpretation of the word Karkuv, which we saw cited in a posuk earlier. So too Rebbe, who interprets Karkuv as referring to the decoration, the Kiur, would say that it's Makiv. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezehu Karkoiv. We have a source that we just started, Ezehu Karkoiv. Within the source, there's a bracketed line. That's because the language is not accurate. And therefore, as far as our first read is concerned, we'll skip the brackets and then go back over the details. But what this source is going to point out in the final analysis, that on the very top of the Mizbeach, the area between the corners and one more amo set in from the corners, we'll say a belt of two amas of width, a frame or a belt of two amas in width running around the entire perimeter of the top of the Mizbeach was actually sunk in, was depressed. That depressed section of the top of the Mizbeach, once again the area between the Kronos plus one amo in from that, that's a reference to the Karkuv as far as this source is concerned. However, in the Gemara before, when we made a reference to Karkuv, we spoke about something other than this. The Gemara will point that out in right after the source. But in the meantime, let's see the source. The source begins with Ezehu Karkuv, Bein Keren LeKeren, we're skipping the brackets, Umokoim Hiluch Ragle HaKoyhanim Amo. The Karkuv was that area between the Kronos and an Amo, and an additional Amo set in the area on which, or around which, the Kohanim walked on the top of the Mizbeach. The idea of it being sunk in is found in the Rashi. You can see there's a Rashi in the wide lines. We have a little star to help you find it a little quickly. Elo hochikomar, ben keren lekeren, umokom hiluch ragle hakoyhanim, kamin charitz omoik, Mimokoim hama'arocha misfas hamizbeach soviv umakif es mokom hama'arocha. Mokom hama'arocha is the top of the mizbeach, the area on the top of the mizbeach suitable for making fireplaces for the different purposes that fire was needed. The obvious primary role was for the burning of the limbs of sacrifices. So the area around that, the area that's called Mokom HaMa'arocha, was a charitz, which is something that's dug in, or like a ditch. Urochvoi shel charitz shnei amos, the width of this perimeter, or the width of this frame, or how else we can term it, the sunken area that ran around the Mokom HaMa'arocha, the width of it was 2 amos. And how do we account for the 2 amos? Amos shel bein hakronos, the amos shel mokom hiluch, 1 amah of width was the area, was the section of the mizbeach that ran between the corners, and the amos set in was for the mokom hiluch. We have a diagram that we've included to help illustrate that, where you see from an aerial view the area between the chronos. The chronos are the little squares that form that are positioned at the corners of this aerial view of the square of the top of the mizbeach, and then the next amo within that was called the mokom hiluch of the kohanim, and then the area left within that was the mokom hama'arocha. As we continue in the Gemara, we must go over the bracketed section, starting from the beginning of the Braisa. Ezu Karkov, Bein Keren LeKeren, Mokom Hiluch Ragle HaKoyhanim, Amo. What is a Karkov? So it's the area between the Kronos, and at the initial reading of this Braisa, it says that the area between the Kronos was where the Kohanim walked, measuring a width of an amo. The Gemara asks, Otu HaKohanim Bein Keren LeKeren Havu Ko'azli? Could one imagine that the Kohanim walked between the corners? What would happen, that would be rather inconvenient, because as they would approach the corner, they wouldn't be able to continue walking. They would be blocked by the corner. So, Elo Amos, so rather, we should say, U'mokom hiluch ragli hakoyhanim amo. The Karkov was the area between the Kronos, in other words, the sides of the top of the Mizbeach, and that had an amo of width, and an additional amo within that for the Kohanim to walk around. The Gemara asks, V'hok siv, but we have a posuk that deals with the making of the michbar. Now, the michbar was a type of network or grating that was on the side of the mizbeach from the halfway mark of the mizbeach up. We've attempted to provide a little illustration of this as well, as you can see in the margin of the Gemara. The pasuk that is appropriate for this is found in Shmos, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Dalet, which we've included on the side of the Gemara. Let us read the pasuk. It says, Vayas lamizbeach michbor, maise reshes, nechoshes, tachas karkuvoi, milamato ad chetzio. So the michbor, which is described as a maise reshes, reshes is a net, but it was a type of copper network, or copper sheets that were attached to the sides of the Mizbeach, looking like maybe what we would call a screen. And that was placed on the side of the Mizbeach underneath the Karkoiv, and the Michbor, which was this network or screen affair, reached the halfway mark of the Mizbeach. But from this Pasuk, it seems that as it says, the Michbor was placed under the Karkov, indicating that, just like we know that the screen was on the side of the Mizbeach, the Karkov would have also been on the side of the Mizbeach. So it's mashma that it's not where the Karkov is not where the Kohanim walked. Let us read that in the Gemara again. V'hoksiv tachas karkuvoi milamato ad chetzio, that the michbor was underneath the karkuv on the side of the mizbeach. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok trei havu. There were two karkuvs. Chad linoi, one was decorative. This was on the side of the mizbeach. And v'chad l'kehanim delo nistarku. And the other was on the top of the mizbeach, this karkuv or ditch or sunk in section of mizbeach, so that they wouldn't slip as they were walking around the mizbeach. Midas orkoi, umidas rochboi, umidas koimosoi ein ma'akvin. Omar Rav Moni, ubavad shelo yifchesenu mi mizbeach she'osa Moshe. Rav Moni says that even though it says that the dimensions are not binding, one must not reduce the size of the mizbeach to be something less than that which Moshe Rabbeinu made. V'kama, well, how much is that which Moshe Rabbeinu made? Omar Rav Yosef Amo. So Rav Yosef says it was an amo in size. Machku alei, they heard Rav Yosef's understanding and they jeered him. Chomesh amos orech v'chomesh amos rochav rovua yamizbeach. The pasuk itself indicates that it was 5 amos by length and 5 amos in width, forming a square. Where does Rav Yosef come off to saying an amo? So that was the response that Rav Yosef was met with after he said an amo. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says back, Dilmo mokim marocho komar mar. Abaye, in attempting to defend Rav Yosef against these detractors that ridiculed him, Abaye says, maybe what you meant to say is that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu had a fireplace, the marocha, that measured an amo. In other words, the pasuk that talks about a 5 by 5 top, there was the area that measured one amo that accounted for the mokum kronos, and that was of course on all sides, and then another amo that accounted for the mokum hiluch, and if that too was on all sides, leaving a single amo in the center of the mizbeach that would be available for the mokom hiluch. So the amo response that Rav Yosef initially said, that when constructing mizbeach one should be careful not to reduce it to something less than the size of the Moshe mizbeach, and Rav Yosef described the Moshe mizbeach as an amo, he was referring to the fireplace, the amount of area on the top of the Moshe Mizbeach allocated for the mokum, for the Marocha. This was all, of course, what Abaye said to Rav Yosef. Amale, Rav Yosef says back to Abaye, Mor de Gavra Rabba, who are a great individual, Yoda my Kwamina, you understood what I was saying. Kori Olayu, and then he referred to his detractors, B'nai Keturah. He called them that. B'nai Keturah, Rashi at the top of Omid Bey says, B'nai Avram Atem, you are descendants of Avram, Avolo Kezera Yitzchok V'Yankiv, but you're not like the offspring of of Yitzchak and Yaakov. In other words, Avraham Avinu himself is called one of the avos of the Jewish people, the fathers of the Jewish people, but he also had a number of other children that came forth from him, that the Torah describes, that Avraham Avinu eventually married a woman by the name of Keturah and had children from her, but the Jewish people did not come from those. The Bnei Yisrael comes from Yitzchak, who in turn had a son, Yaakov, and from him came forth Yisrael. So this was a rather insulting remark made to those who were who ridiculed Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef calling them Bnei Keturah. Since we mentioned the Bnei Keturah term, the Gemara goes on with a little story. Bnei Achde de Rabbi Tarfon, the nephews of Rabbi Tarfon, his sister's sons, Havu Yasvi Kamei de Rabbi Tarfon. They were sitting in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon, and they were silent. They didn't converse, they didn't speak in Torah learning with Rabbi Tarfon. Posach v'omar, Rabbi Tarfon now says something that's inaccurate, but he says it in order to prompt them into speaking. He says, "Vayosef Avraham, vayikach isha shmo Yuchni," and Avraham continued to take another wife, and her name was Yuchni. Well, when they heard this, when the nephews of Rabbi Tarfon heard this, Amri Lei, they said, "Keturah ksiv." It doesn't say that his wife's name was Yuchni. It says Ushmo Keturah. Her name was Keturah. That's what it says. So they finally spoke up. Kori Alehem Bnei Keturah. Rabbi Tarfon referred to his nephews as you're a bunch of Bnei Keturah. And Rashi explains that maybe as far as recognizing an inaccuracy in a posik, you have that ability, but to converse in legal matters, that you are unable to do. So hence he used this, we'll say, insulting address to refer to them. As you can see, there's a slash mark in our Mark Gemaras, which indicates that which follows is a new idea. On the outside margin, we have a title assigned to this sukya. It's under the Nosei heading, Midos Shel Shnei Gizrei Eitzim She'osa Moshe. Every morning when the fireplace of the Mizbeach was renewed and rearranged, there was prior to the pile of wood that was set up on there, there was something called Shnei Gizri Eitzim, two boards that were placed on the Mokum HaMarocha, the fireplace, and after that the rest of the Mizbeach was the rest of the fireplace was arranged. So we're going to refer to the Shnei Gizri Eitzim in this piece of Gemara. Omar Abaye bar Huna, Omar Rav Chama bar Guria, Gzirin she'osa Moshe, the Shnei Gizri Eitzim, these wooden boards that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Orkon Amo v'Rochbon Amo v'Uvion kemachak Gedesh Sa'ah. The boards measured one Amo in length, one Amo in width, and the thickness of these boards was like the name of a vessel, Macha Gedesh Sa'ah. That's a situation where you have a saw, which is a quantity of, let us say, grain, is being measured out, and there's a godesh to it, a heaping measure. So there was a type of stick, if you will, a long stick that was used to level off the grain. That device was called the word machak literally means to erase, so it removed the heaping quality of the saw. Anyway, that particular leveler, which we can now refer to it as, instead of a stick, we'll refer to it as a leveler, that had a certain standard thickness to it, so the Gemara is able to say that the boards have the same thickness as that leveler. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Be'amo Geduma. This word, Geduma, is the subject of a great deal of discussion. Rashi preserves this as the text. There are other approaches that one can find in the Tosfos and can refer to the Shita Mekubetzes Dalet for alternative yourselves. But for our purposes, we're going to stick with the Rashi's pshat. And he says that it was a shortened amo. In other words, it wasn't a full standard size amo. So that the Shnei Gizri Eitzim, even though we mentioned that they measured an amo by an amo, it was an amo geduma, a cut off or shortened amo. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has trouble with this. He says, Valav hainu tisanya, but has it not been taught in the following Tanaic source? The following information, al ho'etzim, asher al ho'esh, asher al ha-mizbeach. That's a posuk. Shaloyu etzim yoitzin min ha-mizbeach klum. There was an understanding that the wood on the top of the mizbeach should not protrude out further, shouldn't protrude beyond the mokum ha-marocha. However, if the Torah's simple restriction is protruding beyond, there was no need for them to have made a shortened amo. They could have had a regular amo of size for the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. And therefore, Rav Yirmiyah's comment that Moshe Rabbeinu produced Shnei Gizrei Eitzim that were not a full sized amo seems to be inaccurate. So that's Rav Yosef's question. He leaves this question on Rav Yirmiyah. Once again, we see a slash indicating that which follows is a new discussion. And in our outside margin of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading combined with a structural note. So we will notice in the Gemara very shortly, after reading the Tanaic source, we'll see some diamonds. And this is explained. The diamonds are hoichochos, proofs. To kevesh hoya bedorom ha-mizbeach, that the ramp leading up to the mizbeach was on the southern side of the mizbeach. So now let's see the source inside. Tanan hosam, we have a Tanaic source that says kevesh hoya ledroima shel mizbeach. There was a ramp on the southern side of the mizbeach. Uruch shloshim v'shtayim al roichav sheish esrei. The length of this ramp was 32 amas, and it had a width of 16 amas. Minohani mili. From where do we know that the kevesh, the ramp, was in the Dorum, in the south? To answer this, we have a couple of approaches. You have Rav Huna, and a few lines later, the Gemara mentions V'tona Maisi Lo Mehocha. We've also included numberings to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, so that you can see there are two answers to this question. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Kra. The Rav Huna cites a posuk, V'shachad Oisoi Al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafona. The slaughtering shall take place Al Yerech. Yerech has to do with a leg. Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafona. The leg of the Mizbeach in the north. Shiehe Yerech Batzafon. If the leg of the Mizbeach is in the north, so Uponov Badorov. So its face would be in the south. The Gemara asks, Emo Yerech Batzafon Uponov Batzafon. Why could it not be that the foot is in the north and the face is also in the north? Omar Rava, Romi Gavra Aape. The way to understand this description of the Mizbeach with an inclusion of feet, imagine that we're talking about a person who's lying face down. That's Romi Gavra Aape, lying face down. So if the Pasuk describes something lying face down with the feet in the north, so the face is in the south. And therefore the kevesh is a ramp leading up as you're walking up to greet the Mizbeach, so to speak, to greet it as you would a person, you greet him facing him. So the ramp must have been on the southern side, which represented the face of the Mizbeach. Amale Abaye Adarabo, Torah Tzvi Oisiv Gavra, if you're going to use an analogy regarding a person, you could have described a person that's seated. So if he's seated, he's seated upright. If his legs are facing the north, so the face is also facing the north. So how can we be so conclusive about the ramp being in the south, as the Tanaic source said that the Kevesh Hoya Lidroma? Once again, maybe the Mizbeach is positioned like a seated person. And if the Pasuk makes reference to the feet in the north, well, a seated person has his face in the same direction as his feet are. So his face would also be in the north. Omale Abaye. After Abaye's suggestion of Toretz V'Yosef Gavra Omale, so Rava responds and says, Ravua Ksiv. The word Ravua is used in the context of the Mizbeach, and the word Ravua means lying down. So if the feet of a lying down entity are in the north, the face is in the south. And as we mentioned before, when you go up the ramp, you're going up to greet the Mizbeach's face. Therefore, the ramp must have been in the south. The Gemara asks, how can you use the word Ravua to teach me this idea of lying down, and hence the directions or the locations of the location of the ramp? But I need the word Ravua to teach me that the Mizbeach must be square, and therefore it's used up for this purpose, and therefore Ravua is not available to teach me the idea of the feet in the north and the face in the south. The Gemara answers, Miksiv Miruba. Does it use that word? It doesn't use that word. It says Ravua. If it would have said Miruba, that would have meant square. That would have meant square. But it uses the word Ravua, giving me a chance to darshan it as referring to lying down also. Uletamech Miksiv Ravutz. According to you, that want to say that the word, it doesn't use Meruba, but rather uses the word Ravua, which means lying down. But does the Torah use the more, it doesn't use the more common word Ravutz, which would have meant lying down. So maybe it's like Abaye suggested, that it's Torah Sviyosev. Amale, so Rava answers, Ravua Ksiv. The Torah chose the word specifically Ravua. The Mashma Hochi Umashma Hochi. That word has two implications. It's Mashma squareness, and it's also Mashma lying down. The Tona Maisi Lo Mehocha. The following Tanaic source shows that the Kevesh was in the Dorom through the following. The Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Umaloisehu Pinois Kodim. And from this we darshan call Pinoshata Poine Lo Yu Elo Derech. And we're skipping the next word, the Mizrach. From the fact that the Posuk in Yecheskel says Pinois Kodim, Pinos would mean turn Kodim to the east. Kodim is the east. Notice how we skip the word. That's because this posuk does not serve as a proof that when one needs to make a turn, that he should turn to the right. It simply teaches that he should turn eastward. There's another posuk that the Gemara will cite later that teaches me that when one must make a turn, he should turn to the right. So, at this point, we're saying that the one, let us say in the case of dealing with the Mizbeach, when he approaches the top of the Mizbeach and he has to make a turn, he turns to the east. And by the fact that he's turning to the east, there's an assumption that he is which actually, before we go further, we should reread, we should read the source again, that the source teaches Eloderech, that every turn a person makes, call Pino Shatapona, the source says, Lo Yu Eloderech Yamin Lemizrach. The reason we have that word Yamin in brackets is because the Pasuk doesn't prove Yamin, but the Brisa nevertheless says that that is a rule, that when you must make a turn, you should make a right turn to the east. The Pasuk itself shows that one is turning eastward. The Gemara asks, V'ema Smoil Lemizrach? According to the Brice itself that says you're making a right turn to the east, that means that you're a right turn to the east would mean that you're walking toward the southern side of whatever, and the right turn would result in your turning to the east. The Gemara asks, but maybe Ve'ema Smoil Lemizrach, maybe you're supposed to be making a left turn to the east. And if you were doing that, that would mean that you're approaching something, in this case the Mizbeach, from its northern side. And if you were doing that, if you were approaching it from the walking toward the northern side, and the Pasuk instructs you must turn eastward, you in effect would be making a left turn to the east. And if that be the case, so I don't see any proof from here that you are walking to the, you're walking up to the Mizbeach from the southern side. Lo Salkadaitoch. So the Gemara rejects this and says you shouldn't think that the approach to the Mizbeach involves an approach from the northern side, and hence a left turn toward the east. The Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. We have a Tanaic source that Rami Bar Yecheskel introduces. Yam Sha'osa Shlomo. Shlomo made a pool in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And that pool was actually elevated. Omeid al Shneim Osor Bokor. It was positioned on the, was placed on the back of 10 carved cow images. Shlosha Poinim Safona, the source now describes the position of these cows. We're going to see there were a total of 12 cows on which was placed the pool that we just described. How were these cows positioned? So Shlosha Poinim Safona, three were facing north, Ushlosha Poinim Yoma, and three were facing west, Ushlosha Poinim Negba, three were facing south, Ushlosha Poinim Mizracha. From this posuk that we find in the source, we are taught called pinas shata poina, all turns that you make, lo yu elo derech yamin, and also lemizrach. But the purpose of this pasuk, and the reason we have the word lemizrach in brackets, is because the purpose of this pasuk is to show us that when one makes a turn, when one needs to make a turn, he turns right. Just to contrast this with what was seen in the source just before this, we had a pasuk that said that when one must make a turn, we saw a pasuk that taught the turn must be eastward. So if we combine these two pieces of information, we see that one must be making a right turn, which results in turning to the east. And if you say that, that means you were approaching the southern side of whatever, in this case of the Mizbeach. You were making an approach to the southern side of the Mizbeach and then being expected to make a right turn, which was to the east. So if the right turn that you were making to the east while approaching the Mizbeach, that means you were walking up toward its southern side. So with that we understand how it was known that the Kevesh was placed on the southern side of the Mizbeach, because
as you rose on the kevesh to, let us say, to make various blood applications to the corners of the mizbeach, and you would have to make a turn once you reach the top of the mizbeach. You'd have to turn from the sources we just saw. You're in effect making a right turn eastward, indicating once again that you were walking up the mizbeach, approaching it from the southern side. Hence, the kevesh is supposed to be Madorom. The Gemara asks, but as far as these cow images that were just described, Hahu miboya le legufe. The mentioning of the cows isn't here to tell me rules about directions that one must turn, but it's needed simply to tell me that the pool that Shlomo Melch made was placed on the backs of these cows. Im Kain, if that's all the posit was for, poinim poinim lomali, the description of the cows being positioned and the word ponim appearing a number of times in the pasuk would have been unnecessary if the pasuk was only legufe to tell me about how the pool was set up. But the fact that the pasuk repeats the word ponim a number of times, it's here to teach me the rule of directions that one must turn when he needs to make a turn. We might just mention that with regard to the cows, how does one see that one makes a right turn? So the first positioning of the cows were the northern cows. So just imagine for a moment that you're facing the northern cows. What's the next direction that's cited in the pasuk? Well, the next one is Yoma. Yoma means west. So if you're facing the northern cows and have to turn west, which direction are you turning? You're turning to your right. So it's from that that we learn the rule stated in the second source that all turns that one makes, he should turn right. As far as the right turn resulting in the east, or that a turn must be made toward the east, that point was proven in the previous source, where it said, it quoted the Pasuk Malaseu, Pinos Kodim, Kodim meaning to the east. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a triangle, and in fact, we might also draw your attention to the fact that we have a slash here, because this is essentially a new discussion. In the outside margin, we have a Nose Mivneh heading, Machlokes im Avir bein Kevesh lemizbeach. There is a controversy whether the ramp was flush up with the side of the mizbeach, or was there Avir, a space, a gap between the mizbeach and the ramp. Shoal, we should note before we go on in the Gemara, the fact is that the triangles that we see will be assuming two opposite positions as we go on in the Gemara. This is explained in the outside margin where you see a triangle featured, and we're calling it ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the discussion. With the point facing up, we'll be representing Reb Shimon ben Yossi ben Lakunya, who seems to take the position that ein avir bein kevesh l'mizbeach. And with the triangle flipped over with the point facing downwards, that will represent Shitas Rabiosi and all those who agree with him, that yesh avir, there is a space between the kevesh and the mizbeach. Continuing in the Gemara, Shoa Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lakunya es Rabiosi. Rabbi Shimon asks Rabiosi the following, Omer hoya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi avir yesh ben kevesh l'mizbeach? Is it so that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi maintains there's a gap between the ramp and the top of the mizbeach? Omar lo, Rabbi Yossi responds, and we might just add from the tone of the question, it seems that Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lakunya holds that there is no avir between the kevesh and mizbeach. So Rabbi Yossi says back to Rabbi Shimon, he says, Ve'ato I ato omer kein, and you don't agree with that? Falo kvar nemar, ve'osiso elisecho aboser v'adam. The posuk makes a reference to the processing of the olah, its meat, and its blood. Ma dam bezrika, just like the blood is literally thrown, but it means it's cast. Af basar bezrika, so too the meat is to be thrown. Now, if you're talking about throwing the meat, it must be that you would carry the ola. The ola was a type of korban that was completely burned. All of its meat, its limbs were burnt. So just like the dam is thrown, the limbs are thrown. The fact that you're throwing the limbs indicates that there must have been a gap between the top of the ramp, and you would be standing at the top of the kevesh, and since there was a gap, you would have, we'll say, you would have no choice but to throw the limbs onto the fire, because you were throwing them over this gap. Omar loy. So the Reb Shimon responds, Shani omer, omeid bitzad marocha v'zorek. The comparison to the dam was not to teach me about a gap, an airspace between the ramp and the mizbeach. The comparison to the dam is simply to tell me that the way of placing the limbs on the fire was by throwing them, just like there was a casting of the blood. Omale, Rabbi Yossi says, if the Pasuk is simply telling me about throwing the meat onto the fire, that's obvious even without the Pasuk. Kishu zorek la marocha, when he throws the limbs onto the marocha. Kishu zorek la marocha deluka hu zorek o la marocha shena deluka hu zorek. Is he throwing them onto a burning fireplace, a lit fireplace, or to an extinguished fireplace? Heve omer la marocha deluka hu zorek. It's clear that he's throwing the limbs onto a lit fireplace. Now, if you're talking about telling us that the Pasuk simply teaches us that he needs to throw the limbs, even without the Pasuk, since you're talking about a burning fireplace, he's not able to bend over and simply place the meat on it. That would be suicidal. He has to throw the meat onto a burning fireplace. That's what the Gemara says here. V'hosa mishum delo efsher. Therefore, and there, in the case of a burning fireplace, it's not possible any other way. Therefore, I wouldn't need a pasuk to instruct him to throw limbs onto a burning fire. If the Pasuk is already troubling itself to compare the Basar to the Dam, it must be that the throwing is necessary because there is a gap between the top of the Kevesh and the top of the Mizbeach. Rav Popa Omar, now notice how Rav Popa has a flipped around triangle. In the last triangle that we saw was also flipped around, was Rabbi Yossi responding to Rabbi Shimon. Rav Popa is in the same direction as the previous direction, as the previous triangle, insofar as Rav Popa is also coming to share the expression that there was a gap at the top. Rav Popa, Omar, ki dam. Just like dam, we are going to view the meat. Ma dam avir karka mafsiko. There is just like when you're casting the blood toward the Mizbeach, there's ground between the Zorek and the Mizbeach itself. There's a gap of ground. Af Bosar, so too with regard to the throwing of the meat. Avir Karka Mafsiko. There is an airspace under which there is the ground that is mafsik, that blocks the airspace, if you will, that separates the top of the ramp from the mizbeach. Omar Rav Yehuda, Shnei Kvosim Ktanim Shnei kivoshim, ketanim, kivoshim or kivshim are ramps. Shnei kivshim ketanim, yoytzin min hakevesh, shevohem poinim layisod v'lasovev. Leading off the main ramp were two auxiliary ramps, one leading to the yisod, and the other to the sovev. Umuvdolin min hamizbeach melo nimo. The ramps were separated from the mizbeach by a hair's breadth of airspace. Mishum shenemar soviv, because the Torah, in describing the mizbeach, makes a reference to this to the concept of soviv. Soviv indicates that one would, in theory, be able to draw a line, if you will, around the mizbeach without running into anything blocking it, so that you'd be able to take, in theory, a string and run it around the mizbeach at any given point without anything blocking it. So that shows us the word soviv, which means to go around, and go around it with a string, if you will. This indicates that the ramps did not touch the mizbeach. Rabbi Avo Omar Ravua. Rabbi Avo says that the word Ravua teaches me that the ramps did not touch the mizbeach. Because if they did, Ravua means a square. Because if the ramps actually did touch the mizbeach, so you would not have a perfect square shape. The itzrich lemichtav soviv, the itzrich lemichtav ravua. We actually need both words. De'i kosav rachmona soviv. Had I had just that word, have amina, I would have thought that the shape of the mizbeach is de ogil ma'agil. It was round. Kosav rachmona ravua. Therefore, the word ravua appears to exclude the thought of roundness. The e kasa rachmona ravua, had I had that word, ravua has to do with a four-cornered shape. Have amino di orach v'kotin. I would have thought that the mizbeach might be rectangular, long and narrow. Kosav rachmona soviv. Therefore, the word soviv, which conveys the idea of equidistant sides, a square. Tanan hosam, hakevesh v'hamizbeach shishim ushtayim. The total combined length of the kevesh, the ramp with the mizbeach, would be 62 amos. The Gemara asks, well, hani shishim v'arbohavu? How do you get 62? We know the mizbeach was 32 amos by 32 amos. And we also know that the length of the kevesh was 32 amos. So if you have a ramp measuring 32 amos in length, and it led to a mizbeach 32 amos, the total combined length would be 64. So why does the source say 62? The Gemara answers, Nimtza poireach amo al yesoid v'amo al soveid. The ramp actually hovered over or overshadowed 2 amos of the mizbeach. The bottommost amo of the mizbeach in a horizontal measuring accounted for the yesod. The yesod had a width of 1 amo, and higher up on the mizbeach there was another pathway that ran around the mizbeach that we call the yesod. That was the indented portion of the second indented portion of the mizbeach when you were had reached a height of 6 amos from the ground. The ramp overshadowed that as well. Therefore, we can say that two of the 32 amos of the mizbeach are absorbed in the 32 amos of the ramp, so that it really is a total of not 64 amos, but 62 amos. Omar Romi Bar Chama, Kol Kivshei Kivshim, Shalosh Amois La'amo. The ratio between height and horizontal, and the height and length ratio between the, as we just mentioned, the ramp rising to the top of the Mizbeach, that for every 3 amos of lateral movement, you would rise a height of 1 amo. So that if you had to reach the Yesod via a ramp, the length of the ramp, since the Yesod was 1 amo high, the length of the ramp leading to that was 3 amos. If the Sovev, as we mentioned, that one of the auxiliary ramps led up to the Sovev, if being that the Sovev was 6 amos off the ground, the length of the ramp leading up to that would be 18 amos. That for every 1 am of height, if it's 6, you need 3 amos of lateral movement, accounting for 6 times 3, 18 amos. Chutz mikivsho shel mizbeach, with the exception of the, this ratio was not exactly so in the case of the main ramp, the central ramp, the ramp leading up to the top of the mizbeach. There, the ratio was as follows, that for every amo of height, you would have a lateral movement of shoyosholosh amos umechtso the etzba ushlish etzba. It was 3.5 amos plus and 1 1/3 etzbos. So, in order to reach the top of the mizbeach, which from the ground, of course, excluding the kronos, was 9 amos from the ground, you would have a ramp that didn't measure using the previous ratio of 1 to 3, and if you were reaching a height of 9, you would have needed 27 amos. Not so. Here you have a ramp that's 32 amos in length. So if you break down the 32 into the 32 related to 9, creates a lateral movement of, as we just mentioned, 3.5 amos plus 1.5 etzbos. Let us work with the assumption that 4 etzbos accounts for a tefach, and there are 6 tvochim in an amo. So if you make the appropriate calculation, you will discover that the height of 9 tvochim, when you would take, let us say, 32 and divide it by 9, you would get to this number of 3.5 amos etz and 1 1/3 etzbos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.